That is Cry Out to Jesus by Mac Powell and Third Day, my good friend. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining the show tonight. We have a great show. I want to bring in tonight's co-host with me and also my publicist, Mr. Chuck Tyler. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Andrew. How are you tonight?
Doing great. Doing great. And I want to quickly mention you're not only my co-host for tonight and publicist, you're also a veteran of the U.S. Army, and I want to thank you so much for everything you have done.
I appreciate the kind words, Andrew. Thank you.
Thank you. As I mentioned, we have a great show for everyone tonight. I want everyone to continue to check out our website, thedrewshow.com, as well as check out our Twitter page, which is at thedrewshow and the number one, and Mr. Tyler's page as well. What is that? What is the name of that Twitter account?
Twitter.com/ChuckTyler3.
You can reach him there. So follow us today, and you can keep up with a lot of great shows we have coming up. We have the Do Something.org Awards that aired on VH1. We have the award winners, award finalists from there that will be on Tuesday night, as well as Monday night we'll have on baseball legend Mr. Dale Murphy. So we are looking forward to that. But tonight, this guest, it is such a pleasure having her on. You know her from Ghost Hunters. You know her from Ghost Hunters International on Sci-Fi. I am pleased to welcome the beautiful Miss Chris Williams. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure. And I was reading actually on your website that you're from New England. Is that right?
I am New England girl. All about New England sarcasm. Dunkin' Donuts. I grew up in Mass. Well, I was born in Massachusetts, but for the most part, I grew up in New Hampshire. So.
And I assume that you're a big Red Sox fan. Is that right?
I am. Well, I mean, it's hard for me to keep up with anything these days because we're on the road so much, unfortunately. But when I was in the States, Amy and I would make the habit of going to a baseball game in whatever town we're in if there were. Were going on, so that was fun. I got to see about six different parks before I got sent over to the international show. So.
Yeah, you've actually came to my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, where you went to a few Braves games too. Yeah,
we did. We went to a Braves game on the 4th of July, actually. It was last year, I think.
That must have been a lot of fun.
It was a blast.
So just so our listeners know, being a Red Sox fan, how much do you hate the Yankees?
I don't think there's such a thing as love for the Yankees in New England unless you live in Connecticut or Rhode Island. They're kind of like the swaying states. They can't make up their mind. They go with whoever's winning. I think that's how it works.
Right. Well, I'm a diehard Braves fan, and the Yankees have beat the Braves enough in the World Series that I don't too much care for them. Just put it that way.
Well. Let's say I'm a Braves fan, too, because whoever's playing against the Yankees, I'm rooting for.
Right. Chris, how did this all come about, first of all, with ghost hunting in general and being selected by a television show, not only a television show, but a major TV show, Sci-Fi, to be a part of Ghost Hunters?
To be honest, it was kind of by accident. When I was in school, I actually started taking acting classes, and I was doing extra work, and I was doing all these little things, and I became friends with this guy who was doing documentaries, and at the time, Jason and Grant didn't have Ghost Hunters, but they did have Taps, and they were looking for somebody to shoot some of their investigations so they could post something online to show people what it was that they were doing. And it happened to be a day that my friend was shooting, and I was there, and he invited Jane Grant over after going on a few cases with them. And the three of us just started talking, and we got along really well, and we just started keeping in contact through email and phone calls occasionally. And they were kind of like big brothers after a while, especially Grant. And
wow.
A few years go by, and then they end up getting the show, and by that time I was headed back to school. But I was kind of in this weird spot where I honestly did not care to be on TV. I did not care to have anything to do with it. But unfortunately, we had five people pass in 11 months.
Oh.
And not growing up in a church, not having any sort of religious background, growing up believing in hauntings, but then on the other hand, believing that when you die, things just stop, it just ends. It wasn't until that happened that I realized my two beliefs kind of contradicted each other, and I was just a little lost. So for me, the show came in just at a good time for me because I honestly needed to know that there was something else or something more to death.
Right. Now, I know that most of the time during the shows, y'all try to debunk you know, everything, which is perfectly understandable. Do you believe very strongly in the paranormal, or I mean, do you go into a house believing very strongly in the paranormal, or do you just try to debunk everything? Is that the mindset you have?
You know, I go into a place not believing it's haunted. I don't think that there's anything there. I go in with the mindset of trying to figure out what is really going on, because the way I look at it is, if you go into every location expecting to find something, you're going to make something out of anything. And I don't believe that every place you go to has something there. For me, it's more of a debunk. I've always been more of a skeptic than anything else. That's pretty much my approach to it.
Where's probably the best place you've ever been? Not necessarily ghost hunting, but I know you're on the international team now. So, you know, what has been your greatest experience going overseas?
Oh my God. There's been a bunch of different ones for different reasons, really. I mean, I know I really enjoyed Germany when we were there. One of the stops we made was actually Dachau. We toured a concentration camp, which I never in a million years ever thought I'd step foot in. And it was one of the wildest, upsetting, scariest things I've ever walked through. I did not enjoy it at all. We've been to little, you know, tropical islands in the middle of nowhere. We were in Samoa for a good week and a half, I think, close to 2 weeks. It was one of those deals where we're only supposed to be there for a week, week and a half, but only two planes came in and out of the island. So it was either we weren't there for enough time or we were there too much. And lucky for us, we were there for too long. So we got some days to enjoy it, which was nice. But I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me has been that, you know, everybody in the States is having a really hard time now economically and looking for jobs. And we've been to some places where people, you know, the only running water they have is a hose going into the house. They're hanging their clothes on barbed wire fences or in their own homes.
Wow.
No electricity, no running water. So it makes you feel a bit fortunate for what you do have, and you realize that for the most part we have it pretty easy here in the States, even though we're going through a rough time.
That must have been really sad to see what you saw over there.
It really is. It's funny, though, too, at the same time. It makes you realize how much we have that we don't need. Because the people that we met there, they don't know any different. You know, that's just how they live. And they seemed happy enough, and they had their family, and they had all these things they needed to survive and to live. But, you know, here you take us and you put us in a location that doesn't have internet, and we're all bouncing off the walls going insane because we can't call home. That just kind of makes you realize how much we do have and how much we take it for granted.
Right. Chuck?
Andrew, thanks so much. Hey, Chris, I've got a quick question, because I know that you're switched over to Ghost Hunters International now and traveling around the world, and I really appreciate the role that you're portraying in the team. How did you get the nickname Bait? How did you get the nickname Bait? I see something floating around that has your nickname as Bait.
Yeah. That came in when I first started. It was funny because people are so used to females being jumpy and screaming and crying and freaking out and running. And I was just never one of those girls. So I ended up getting the name because they ended up putting me into places to investigate by myself. Completely solo, sometimes without even a camera guy being there filming myself and what I was doing. So they started just calling me Bait. Pretty much if something had happened in the room that was directed towards a female, or a woman was having experiences in there, or a woman died in there, or whatever it may be, they decide that they thought I had better luck in there by myself, and they just throw me in there alone. Which is kind of funny, because here you got all these big strong men throwing the girl in by herself. But
absolutely.
So yeah, I take pride in the name Babe. You know, I like the fact that I don't know. I just don't scare easily, and it's been one of those things. I know when I was a kid, I used to get frustrated seeing all the women, you know, not standing their ground and not being tough. And I've tried very hard to kind of set an example that isn't that.
That's outstanding. That's an awesome way to earn a good nickname like Bait. Chris,
yeah,
one of our chat room members would like to ask you what your favorite investigation has been so far.
Oh my God, my favorite one hasn't aired yet. It's going to be in Belize. I was covered in bruises, absolutely covered. It was probably the most adventurous, most difficult, physical, exhausting thing I have ever done in my life. And I know the whole team just felt beat after the good week and a half over there. The shows are completely changing. Everything that people were used to seeing us do is getting 10 times more difficult. The locations are getting bigger and crazier. So I'm really looking forward to January because I don't know how people are going to react to some of these places.
Wow. Well, what would you say has been your scariest moment in the dark while you've been international or TAPS? Do you have one?
I'd say international was Kronborg Castle. It's in Denmark. And it's funny because there's locations in the States that like to call themselves castles, and it's a complete joke because really they're just oversized mansions. And when you go overseas, like, they do not screw around. A castle is a castle, and when they say dungeon, they're not kidding. The dungeon underneath Cromer Castle was the creepiest thing I've ever been in. And here's me being brave, you know, Bait. I'm like, I'll go down to the dungeon by myself and pick up the camera and all the cords.
Of course.
Because the place is so big, we couldn't afford to have two people going to every place to pick everything up. Mm-hmm. And I went down there solo, and I did regret it. I remember being down there just like, don't screw with me right now. I don't want to deal with it. Because we did have things happen there during the investigation. And it's funny. It's easy to be brave when there's other people there. It's harder when you are by yourself. And that's something that I did learn with the Bait thing. When they did stick me in a location without a cameraman, the experience is completely different than it is when you're with other people. Because you always have that security. There's the other person is experiencing it and going through it with you. So sometimes it's kind of hard to not sometimes it's easy to not get worked up for that reason.
Right. What would you do? You have a biggest fear that when you're about to walk into a place that you just have a nightmares about?
Falling down an open elevator shaft, tripping down some steps. You know, for me, it's all the real fears as far as, you know, whether we were just doing a case that the altitude was insane. So for all of us, it was health issues that we're worried about. Or, there's some places that the footing isn't the best, open elevator shafts, staircases with no railings, floors that are weak that you could go through. We almost had one of our camera guys go through the location in Samoa. So it's just a lot of the times it's just being very aware of your surroundings. And with these other countries, I think my biggest fear is not knowing the animals there that could eat me. That's the real fear for me. But
I've actually seen episodes where it seems like the cameramen get beat up a lot more than y'all actually do.
They really do. They are awesome. Our whole crew is really great. It's funny because half the crew believes in this stuff, half of them don't. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that everybody's kind of split. But no matter what, they're always very respectful of what we're doing, and they try to keep completely still and quiet. And if they do make a noise, they call it out so we know that it's them. But these guys are walking backwards in the dark. They're going down the street behind us in the dark. We're in one location where I took a tumble, and then the cameraman and the audio girl took a tumble as well. So we look like a bunch of dominoes, but... They do get pretty roughed up. They really do. And they can't watch their step as much as we do either. So it can get kind of sketchy.
Well, we're going to take just a few questions from the chat room. One from Chris Davis, too. What is one location you haven't investigated yet that you would like to?
I would love to investigate the catacombs. I actually went to France by myself on one of our breaks, and I went there and I just checked it out. But it would be interesting to actually be able to investigate it.
Okay. And looks like from Mark, what's a typical work day in Title? That's a good question. Sleep during the day, work at night. How do you adjust to the culture hop and then odd work hours? Do you have a lot of what's it like for you to get on a flight in New England and go all the way to across seas somewhere?
Oh, there is no such thing as adjusting. That it's, you know, some days we work third shifts, the next day we could work first. It's, you know, all our investigations are at night, but then we could switch into daytime hours having to do analysis or research or the reveals. The flying is a killer. I know when we left Argentina, Barry and I were going over to do Destination Truth live show, and we went from Argentina to Atlanta, Atlanta to New York. We had a six-hour pause in New York. We flew from New York to Ireland. We got to Ireland at 5:30 in the morning after like a 14-hour flying day, and we had a call time at 12. So it was just, we're constantly going, and sometimes I don't know how we do it. You can tell towards the end of the run, everybody starts getting cranky just because nobody's gotten any sleep. And our job is very physical, mixed with the time changes and the flights and just the constant change of scheduling. So it is, you know, a lot of people, I think, look at us as we're running around partying. I wish we had time for that.
Tell the truth now.
It's crazy. We might get a day off here and there, and we can go out and sightsee, but we are exhausted most of the time.
I can imagine. What's it like for you going overseas? Do you guys get recognized over there like you do over here, or do you get a lot of attention over here?
You know, it's funny because I was used to being in the States, and people would see the tap van, and they'd follow us, or they'd show up at the location, or the newspaper would announce the day before we got there, which is always hell. But overseas, when I went, I honestly didn't expect that to happen at all, and I was really surprised by the amount of people we'd run into that were locals as well as our men and women in the military that would spot us, and I really got a kick out of it. It was fun. I know that when we stayed, my first run was in the Ukraine, and I was so homesick, and I know halfway through our first week there, a whole troop of American military army guys came walking in, and we all heard each other's accents, and we're like, "Oh, yes!" And it was funny because we all just hung out for the whole week. We were homesick, and it's nice to run into people overseas that are either from home or know the show and know English, so we can actually talk to them. The traveling is difficult. It really is. It's fun, but it's hard.
I can imagine it is, and not seeing family and friends for quite a while. I'm sure that is. Is there one question about ghost hunting or your life in general that you were just so sick and tired of being asked?
Oh my God, I get asked a lot of things that are just strange. The one that I've gotten from the beginning was, what hair products do I use? Which I find extremely odd. I'm running around the dark looking for dead people, and the first question most girls ask me is, what's in my hair? It's strange. But the biggest one right now is, like, I've been with GHI now for a year, and people are still either just figuring it out or they don't understand why I switched. I'm on GHI. I'm here to stay. I enjoy the change. I enjoy taking on a new role and the travel. And I've always been a bigger history nerd than I was a paranormal nerd. So for me, the idea of history still living in a building really intrigues me. And I think that's the biggest kick out of it for me.
Mm-hmm. How has you may not look at yourself this way, but I know a lot of people that do. How has celebrity life affected you? Have you let it affect, you going out places and you doing things with your friends and family?
I don't. It's funny, you're on the road and you are shooting a show and there are cameras around, but it gets to be such a normal day-to-day thing that you kind of forget the fact that it's going to air. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you're interacting with people on Twitter or Facebook or running into people that'll hit you. And sometimes it does strike me as kind of weird because I'll have somebody walk up to me in my hometown and be like, "Chris." And I'm looking at them like, "Shit, did I go to high school with this person? No. College? No. Did I work with them?" And then they'll ask me how GHI is or whatever. And then I'll feel like an idiot and I'll be fine. But yeah, it is odd. I don't think it's something you ever really get used to.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we're running out of time, and I want to ask you two quick questions. One from the chat room.
Okay.
What is your favorite? What has been your favorite foreign language to hear? And do you speak any foreign language as well?
I took 3 or 4 years of Spanish in high school and college. So when we went to Argentina and where did we just go? Peru. It was kind of fun to try to see how much I still remembered. And I knew just enough to get by, which was nice. But I've always wanted to learn Italian because my great-grandfather actually came from Italy. So I'm kind of struggling with trying to learn that on my own now. But
Someday. Well, good for you. And do you have here at the Drew Show, we support the St. Jude Foundation and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I recently started supporting them very much after my son went in for a major surgery just about 2 months ago. So it was really scary. And also the
How's
National.
He doing?
He is doing a lot better. They found a big cyst inside it. So it was about a 5-hour surgery, but things are progressing really good now. Things are going really good. Yeah. And we also support the National Wildlife Federation as well. But do you support any charities yourself? Do you have anything that's really close to your heart?
The biggest thing I try to push is just the awareness of Alzheimer's, because it's something that did touch my family big time. My grandfather had it for 8 years, and the last 3 was just hell. It's basically taking somebody you've known your entire life and having them just slowly forget you. And I know for me, after a while, it was weird because I felt like I was just kind of visiting a body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that the people going through it, I can't even imagine how they're feeling. I think sometimes, though, they're less aware of what's going on than the people around them. And
right.
It's just really hard for anybody dealing with it or who has it to not only understand it, but just live with it. And it's a miserable, miserable thing that I don't wish on anybody. So that's usually, if I'm pushing anything, it's usually just awareness of that and different
right.
organizations that support it.
Right. And I've known.
Do you want to thank Chris for being on the show?
What was that? I'm sorry.
What's that?
I was asking Andrew if we wanted to thank you for being on the Drew Show.
We sure do. And I was just going to say real quick that I've known a few people that's had Alzheimer's, and it's very sad. Chris, I know people can find you on Twitter at ChrisWilliams81. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm on there way too much.
I keep up with your Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
And,
I apologize for my madness.
It's okay. And I know people can find you on your website at ChrisWilliams.com as well. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been a true pleasure having you on. I would love to have you back anytime.
Absolutely, anytime. I'm going to be out for the next month, so.
Right, that's what I meant to ask you about.
I'm always out for it, though. Huh?
That's what I meant to ask you about. You're actually traveling now, right? You're leaving tomorrow?
Leaving tomorrow. We're headed to Belgium, France, and Italy, so.
Oh, wow.
I'll get to practice on that Italian that I was talking about.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with that. Keep us updated.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Miss Chris Williams from Ghost Hunters International. Again, you can find her on Twitter at ChrisWilliams81 and also on her website at ChrisWilliams.com. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us. Looks like we lost Chuck for a moment, and if he doesn't call back, so we'll just go and close the show down. I want to thank everyone so much for joining us. It is a true pleasure having you all on. Continue to check us out at thedrewshow.com. We have some great contests on there. Please check us out on Twitter at thedrewshow and the number one, and also Mr. Chuck Tyler as well. Thank you all so much again, and God bless. Good night. Enjoy this song, Better Than a Hallelujah, by Amy Grant.
drunkard's cry. The soldiers plead not to let him die. Better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries. God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are. The honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah.
Better Than a Hallelujah by Amy Grant. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. I want to play another quick song. This is Before the Morning by Josh Wilson. If anyone has any questions, if you'd like to discuss anything, if you'd like to ask any questions about the Drew Show, please don't hesitate to call in. The call-in number is 818-495-6928 and choose option 1. We'll be sticking around for a few more minutes, so if you'd like to call in, please do.
away. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. But would you dare, would you dare to believe that you still got a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. Come on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight, you're gonna try. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just a hurt before the healing. Or the pain that you've been feeling, it's just a dark before the morning.
And that was Before the Morning by Josh Wilson. You're listening to all the hits right here on The Drew Show, right here on BTR. I want to bring back in my host, my co-host for the night, and my publicist also, Mr. Chuck Tyler.
Hey, hey Chuck. How's it going?
Good, buddy. So, man, that was a great interview with Chris Williams, and I appreciate you joining me for the show tonight. So how do you think it went?
I think it went swimmingly. She was just a phenomenal guest that had a lot to say in a short amount of time. She's done a lot of things. Her background was really interesting, and the teaser about what's going to happen in January was phenomenal, man. Covered with bruises in Belize.
Wow.
Man.
Wow. So she definitely gets beat up a lot, and you think that she has it good, but traveling every day, being on 18-hour flights, wearing herself out, and even when she gets off the plane, getting beat up by, you know, whatever, she's in a castle or whatever's going on. I mean, I feel for her.
Exactly, and she earned that nickname Bait. Boy, let me tell you, she earned every syllable in the word Bait.
She sure did, and I absolutely love seeing her on Ghost Hunters International, of course, but I love seeing her on the regular Ghost Hunters as well, with Jason and Grant and all them, and she learned from them. Those were her teachers, and I mean, just you see how much she has grown and how much she has matured, and I think that says a lot about her.
Absolutely, it does. It was a great show.
It sure was. We go back to our normal lives tomorrow, somewhat, with meetings and everything else. What about yourself?
About the same. Making some more phone calls and connections and seeing who's going to be the next best guest for The Drew Show.
Absolutely. We couldn't end the show, or we couldn't stop or anything, without mentioning the earthquake that happened the other day, and talk a little bit about the hurricane that's about to hit the Florida Panhandle.
It's nature rearing up, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And this is going to. It's looking like it's going to be the worst one that's hit in a long, long time.
And that's saying a lot, because I was serving in the Army Reserves and deployed to North Carolina for Hurricane Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand how bad Katrina was a few years after that. So to call this one even worse than any of those is pretty substantial.
All right. And my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that's in that line of the storm and everything. Did anyone actually get killed from the earthquake that happened around Virginia, New York, and D.C.?
If they did, it was through their own stupidity rather than any type of damage related to the earthquake. They were shutting down airports, and I know the earthquake's epicenter was in my home state of Virginia. So about 30 miles to the northeast of the epicenter is North Anna Nuclear Power Plant, and I know they shut down both of their reactors so as to avoid a Fukushima-like event. And I'm sure, anytime something unexpected like that happens in a place that's not expecting it. And I heard a lot of people say, well, if it happened on the West Coast, we'd have kept walking. Like, yeah, you probably would have. But it's the right coast, not the left coast. So
right.
Anything happens on the right coast, you know, we're kind of, hey, what's going on?
Right, absolutely. It's not that often. We actually had an earthquake in Georgia one time, and it was very small, and only not very many people felt the vibration, but it was no one safe, of course. But I always feel for the people in California because they, of course, they go through the worst.
Exactly. The worst of it. And luckily it was a 5.9, not a 9.5, so.
Right. Absolutely. Well,
what about Steve Jobs? Speaking of earthquakes,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that definitely shook up the financial markets with him stepping down.
You know, I just actually heard about that today. I haven't been following that too much, to be quite honest with you. I'm going to admit it.
No, not a problem, because it happened so quickly. The press release came out right near the close of the markets,
mm-hmm.
and the Apple stock plunged a whole 5%. I think it finished out at $3.55 a share. And rumor has it that it's health related. I'm doing a little bit more research myself, but you know, our thoughts and prayers also to Steve Jobs and his family, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a computer I have now.
Right. Do we know why he's quitting?
Rumor has it that it's health related again. So I'll probably do some more research. And we'll hear more over the next few days, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of health related, I'm not much of a basketball fan at all, but my thoughts and prayers go out to Pat Summitt. She is the University of Tennessee Lady Vols. She is their head coach.
The winningest head coach in women's basketball history. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And she was just diagnosed with dementia, if I'm saying that right, which is a leading cause for Alzheimer's. I actually contacted her publicist today, her people today. It's very possible we'll have her on the show in a few weeks. So they're going to let me know about that in just a few weeks, as she's going to, because she is still going to keep coaching. She is going to try her best to fight this, and she already said she is still going to coach. So I think that is
and
a very strong-willed woman.
Her, exactly. Courageous. She brings that every game. She sets that example for her players and student athletes and just yeah. everyone, you know, who's related or even peripheral to the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
She brings that type of courage, and it's good. It's good to know that we may have an opportunity to reach out and speak to that greatness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be great, and I look forward to that interview. Of course, I mentioned that Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll have baseball legend Mr. Dale Murphy on the show. As you know, he played a long time. He was a long-time Atlanta Brave, played for the Philadelphia Phillies and Colorado Rockies as well. We'll have Tuesday. Would you like to talk about the show that we have Tuesday night?
Tuesday, Andrew, phenomenal score. We've got the DoSomething.org Awards finalists. We've got four amazing Americans who are going to be on the show talking about what they did to make a difference in people's lives that got the attention of the DoSomething.org panel. And it's going to be an amazing show. One of the stories that touches what I used to do in the military, I'm just really looking forward to the show.
Right. There's a great every single one of them are great guests, of course, but they're there's one particular one that I want you guys to hear. So we'll have this lady on to discuss what she's been through and what she did to make a difference in people's lives as well.
So, absolutely.
So, Chuck, any final thoughts before we leave?
Great show. That's one more great show in the can, as they say in the film industry. So I really appreciate the opportunity to work with someone as amazing as you, Andrew, and I'm looking forward to more good shows like this.
I am too. Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch soon. Thank you again so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That is the Drew Show for the night, people. Thank you all so much again for joining me. I know I say it 20 times a day, 20 times a show, but I'll say it 20 more times. Thank you all again. We appreciate all your support. TheDrewShow.com, The Drew Show number one on Twitter. And I forgot his Twitter name again. I am so sorry, Mr. Chuck Tyler. His Twitter name is Chuck Tyler and the number 3. So check him out right there as well. It has been a pleasure. Good night.